Hi, Apple. This is Bob Baranczyk. I'm here with Dr. Abe Peck and about 16 other really fascinating and creative people. So, at any rate, you and Abe, take it away.
I'm delighted to say hello to you, and congratulations. I saw the trailer on the Morgenthau piece, and it's very impressive.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Now, I want to ask you a direct question that was already asked almost 70 years ago. Who remembers the Armenians? You know who made the statement before I did.
Yes.
Yes.
That was Hitler.
Exactly. Speaking to his troops before the invasion of Poland.
The night before he attacked Poland, yes.
Exactly. And so the question I have to you is, do you think that that question is a legitimate one today? Because in this country, who remembers the Armenians?
The unfortunate part is I do study history, I look into history, and history has an unfortunate pattern, which is called repetition. You can't take a page from history, change the dates, change the names, and you will find the same page somewhere else. So, in my view, as a human beings, unfortunately, we have been learning very little from our mistakes. But that doesn't mean that we should not hope instead of hate. That is my message. I believe in hope. I believe education is very important. And I believe talking as human rights, we should all share our pain. That includes the Turks, Armenians, Greeks, Jews, Palestinians. All of us are human beings. We all have been oppressed, and unfortunately, we have believed our leaders that they were right, and we have done the same mistakes all over as through history.
Apo, this is Joel Eastman. I'm a historian, lived in Maine most of my life. I'm 69 years old, and I always knew about the Armenians because at the supper table, if I didn't clean my plate, my parents said, clean your plate, think of the poor, starving Armenians. It wasn't until later that I learned, about the Holocaust, but I always knew about the Armenians.
Yes, yes. It's a well-known fact that the person who coined the name genocide, Raphael Lemkin himself, he was the one who said that the first genocide of the 20th century was the Armenian genocide. And, as he's being an expert on that field, he had quite a few experience himself as a survivor of the Holocaust.
You know, I don't know, this is Abe Peck and Apple. I don't know if you're aware, but in the various ghettos during the period after 1939, those resistance groups, partisan groups, Jewish partisan groups, passed among them a book that they found great inspiration in.
Yes.
And it was written by an Austrian Jew named Franz Werfel. And you know, of course, the book, The 40 Days at Musadag.
Yes.
And so, you see, there is a connection, and as you say, turning the pages or whatever, there was an understanding that the Armenian tragedy was something that could be learned from, even though most of the world sought not to understand it. But I'm sure you're aware of the work of Peter Balakian, of course.
He's a good friend of mine.
He was a good friend of mine. And the latest book, The Burning Tigris, does show an American reaction in a very positive light.
Yes.
So the question is, what happened? Why can't we get Congress, although the Maine legislature has passed a resolution recognizing the genocide, but our national political leaders find it very difficult to do so, and it's really still a continuing stain, I think, on our American system.
Yes, I have one vision about this. I'm sorry that I'm doing too many generalizations, but that is my study and the research that I have done all these years. I come up to one answer, which is unfortunately nobody might not like it, but it's called money and power. That's the result from what I find of my research. Unfortunately, through history, this is not only now, this is not only for Armenians or Turks or United States, but every single country, every single civilization has followed this modem. And we're still repeating the same mistakes as humanity has done it in the past.
Hello, this is Noah Krell. I'm a digital artist here in Portland, Maine. I just am really disheartened, you know, with everyone, you know, talking about, you know, never again, to see all of these other genocides taking place. And I understand the power money dynamic, but I just, you know, I mean, I'm having trouble seeing hope in, you know, actually getting this to end when there's a lot of lip service and commemoration paid to these things, you know, once a certain amount of time has passed. But as it's happening right now, at least with our government, there's, you know, because of, you know, this person's an ally of our ally and we don't want to, you know, anger them. I'm just having a hard time trying to find hope about how we can bring about change with that.
I do understand what you're saying. And partially I agree, but I'm still hopeful. Let me give you an example. The word democracy was created 2,500 years ago in Greece, where I'm going to show my film next month. And when they had democracy in that time, they had slaves. Now, 2,500 years later, we're living in this beautiful country with all the mistakes as we do, like every other country has done, but we live in a democracy quite different than that. So there is hope. There is human rights much more than what used to be. If there is law and order, we have the happiness and the comfort of having our own human rights. But that is not equally distributed around the world. So unfortunately, the societies which they do not indulge themselves into humanity, and they are a dictatorship, and they are just filling their pockets and their own Swiss accounts, well, those are the people which are doing the harm to human race.
My name is Leon Axel. I actually do medical imaging research and a physician, not any fancy social science sorts of things. But I've, you know, my ancestors were in part wiped out in the Holocaust, as many others. But this broader issue of what is really motivating this. Often it seems, as we discussed informally in this room earlier, the real factors are not ancient racial hatreds, but more immediate venal concerns. How can I expropriate the property of this other subgroup of society and dress it up in this ancient entities? But really, in practice, it's much more immediate personal gain. Or a leader who was in the style of a demagogue since the Greeks will try to play up these enmities, which have really been forgotten by and large, and really sort of flame them. And if you, in order to get the populace to view me as someone who will then deliver them from this imagined threat, whether it be the red baiting of the 50s or whatever, this is, of course, not unique to any time or place, as you've said. And how do you really intercede in some way with that? You know, the people seem to have often gotten along between, you know, over the centuries, on and off, in these places where genocides break out, but yet these people who were neighbors, when you read so many stories often over and over again, people attacking each other, who really gotten along fine a couple of years before. This is not some continuously smoldering thing, but rather something that was inflamed for presumably a relatively small group's immediate personal gain.
Well said. All I can say is that as a human being, I believe that our job is to question our leaders. Do not follow your leaders. If you find it wrong, speak up. Make a demonstration. Write. Do things. Just don't accept them as they are because they're our leaders. And unfortunately, human race has followed their leaders and has done all these horrible, horrible mistakes. And of course, some of those followers, they think of their own personal benefit, their gains. So if there's plunder at the end of a joining and demonstration, that is not democratical. That is anti-human. That's all I can say about that.
Oppo, this is Abe Peck again. We're sort of going to try to end on a positive note and try to work with your attitude of hope for the future. You know, of course, that Turkish and Armenian officials have been meeting not so secretly anymore in Switzerland over the past several months. And there's also been an invitation by, I believe, the Armenian foreign minister to the Turkish foreign minister to come to Yerevan when, I think it's September 6th, Turkey will play Armenia in a football match. Yes. Now, Apo, who do you think will win?
Well, I'm not a football or soccer fan, but I will read you one little statement from one of my witnesses that I had it in my film. Her name is Pam Steiner, Dr. Pam Steiner. And she says, reconciliation starts with, one, stating the truth. Two, acknowledging the truth. Three, reparations. Four, restitution. Five, promise not to repeat. Six, memorialization. Seven, changing the history books. I believe in all that. What our leaders does not impress me. What humanity does impresses me.
It's very, very well said. Now, given the fact that each of those seven steps each at a time, they're difficult to implement in a very short period of time. Would you be happy with an Armenian win in the soccer match as a beginning?
Like I said, no. I prefer the unity before the match. When I see the Turkish Armenians, they're both pulling their flags up and sharing their whatever songs, that's what I like. I wish our earth could learn to share this beautiful earth that was given to us.
Thank you so much.
I thank you. I'm very honored to speak to every one of you.
Thank you.